Check 1, 2. Oh, brother. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Good morning, Glory and Peace Church. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome online. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Let's open up our mouths and just praise Him and just thank Him this morning. Just thank the Lord this morning for His goodness. Thank Him for His faithfulness this morning. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your protection. Thank You, Father God, for being so good to us. Thank You for keeping us. Thank You for bringing us to this point. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Just open up your mouth and thank the Lord for this day. This is a good day, the day that He has made, and we will rejoice in it. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise You this morning.
Praise is the waters, my enemies drowning. As long You can't do no wrong, oh man, man. You leave the 99 always for the one.
Oh, I know he loves me. I know he cares. Whenever I go, he always be right there. In times of trouble, he's my help. Yeah, I know I'm here. I know he will be right there.
He really does what he says he will do. My God.
praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, you have been so good. Father, we are so grateful. We are so grateful. We are so grateful. You have been so good. Hallelujah. Just speak to him. Thank you, Father, for being so good. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for saving us, Jesus. Jesus, thank you for saving us. 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 Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your obedience. Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Your goodness is running out of me. you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All my life, you have been so, so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you, Father, for uncloaking yourself and releasing in your loving kindness and your tender mercies more and more of your glory, making it possible for us, O God, to be changed, transformed, renewed, becoming more and more every day as you've designed us to be in your image and likeness. It is your mercy that makes it possible. It is your transforming grace and the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, that makes it possible. You're the God who's justified us and sanctified us, gracing us with the gift of righteousness, your everlasting love, your steadfast love never ceases. Thank you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Great is thy faithfulness. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Father, we are thankful for your everlasting love. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, God, that you're a covenant-keeping God. You did not withhold the Lord Jesus from us. You will not withhold any good thing from us. so today we come to the throne of grace and we receive all, Father, that you have for us. We receive healing for our bodies, healing for our minds, healing for our emotions, healing in our families, in our marriages, healing for our children. We come and we testify, Father, that grace sufficient is breaking the hold of every form of addiction. The breakthroughs are taking place even now in the lives of your people, all because of your mercies. Father, we speak life to dead bodies, people, oh God, that are struggling. We infuse them with the strength that comes from your presence. And we thank you, Lord, that people are being made whole even now by the authority of your word. Broken aspects, parts of the bodies of your people are receiving restoration. Father, we take healing. We take prosperity. We take peace. We take your loving kindness. We say yes to your word and to your will. We say no to everything that is not of you. And we cleave unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Be glorified, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Hallelujah. They are new every morning. Oh, they are new every morning. For great is thy faithfulness. Oh, my God, great is thy faithfulness. Sing it one more time. Steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Thank you, worship team.
Thanks, worship team. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. Doesn't matter what's going on, you are forever faithful. We bless your holy name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallowed be your holy name. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. You can rise with me. Our Father, whom art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Say big amen. Amen. God dear everyone, it's good to see you. Welcome to Glory and Peace Church. Well, it's that time we pray. So we're going to continue. We're going to pray shortly. Apostle has prayed some already, so we're going to pray right away and continue with the service. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for a wonderful day. You know, every moment we are alive, we give thanks. You know, forever we will be with you. Forever you will reign in our lives. Forever you will be God. We welcome you into the service. Spirit of the living God. Spirit of wisdom. Spirit of knowledge. Spirit of understanding. Spirit of counsel. Spirit of might. Spirit of the fear of the Lord. We welcome you, all your spirit, which is your holy word. For the words you speak, their spirit and life. We receive your abundant life, and we flow in that place of life. We thank you for being with us. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for giving us breath of life. Thank you for everything you do for us. You gave us shelter, clothing, food, air, and access to everything that you have made. We bless your holy name. Thank you for giving our families job that they have where they go to work and they are paid and there's an income to feed. We bless your holy name. We take nothing for granted. We thank you for our lives and our entire families. We thank you for those, even those that are sick, you are bringing them to divine health. Even now, you are restoring your people. You are bringing breath and life back into them. Thank you, Almighty God, for your goodness. In this service today, have your way. May your name be lifted, O God. May your name be exalted. May we remember your kindness and your goodness to us in every day of our lives. You've been so good to us, and you've been faithful to us. May your faithfulness flow in us, and may we be faithful to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, touch families, touch their children, touch their spouses, touch their parents, touch grandparents, touch everyone, oh God. There's some suffering in silence, some have affliction. Deliver them from such afflictions. In the mighty name of Jesus, every torment that is happening in the lives of your people, set them free. Set the captives free. Set the captives free. Wherever the enemy has held them hostage, cut off the hand of the enemy. Set them free in the mighty name of Jesus. Let healing and deliverance take place in their mind, in their body, in their spirit, soul, in the name of Jesus. Father, may your name be magnified. Those who are not sure what tomorrow will bring them, whether their job is going to be over, Father, provide for them. Father, open doors. Doors that wants to close on them, open it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those that need doors shut that are useless in their life, shut those doors in the mighty name of Jesus. They open doors of opportunity, doors of greatness, doors of the gospel. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for freedom. Children that are walking in disobedience in their homes, set them free now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every touch of the enemy upon their lives, we cancel them in the name of Jesus. Let the hand of the Lord rest upon them, that they will turn from their wicked ways and turn to the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. all children from 120 plus age to zero form, touch everyone, that everyone will turn back to you, Lord. Father, touch our lives that we make you number one, that you be the first in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Because you say you are the first and the last. You are Alpha and Omega. May we remember who you are and put you in the right place. Have your way in our hearts. Be with our families. Save those that are not saved. Those that are backsliding, draw them back to you. Give them your living waters. Give them your bread of life, that they will be sustained and they can praise you in the land of the living. Father, we thank you now for the nation of Israel. We bless Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. We speak life to Jerusalem. Life to your people, Lord. All Israel shall be saved. Remember your people, Lord. Save your people, Lord. And out of the covenant you have made with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, bring it to come to pass, that all nations are blessed through Father Abraham. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless Canada, bless Nigeria, bless United States of America, bless Yugoslavia, bless Spain, bless Portugal, in the mighty name of Jesus, and all the islands of the seas, draw them to you, Lord. Save your people in every continent where someone is calling the name of the Lord. Save your people, Lord. Draw more souls to you, Lord. May they genuinely be saved, and may they genuinely serve the living God. For you are looking for a people who will worship you in spirit and in truth. May we be that people in the name of Jesus. Accept our worship and thanksgiving. Accept our offering and tithes. Accept our thanksgiving in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, be in this service this morning. Heal, restore, and make whole your people in the name of Jesus. Let your word come with power, with grace, with favor and mercy, with truth, healing, and deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus and testimony. In Jesus' name we have declared it so. Say a big amen. 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 God bless you. You may be seated.
And the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Part of that joy is the favor and the prosperity of God. The backbone of poverty is destroyed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Now that tells me then that part of this increase in the joy that comes into our lives is because the Word of God is spoken into our lives. Amen. Remember when we started from the book of Nehemiah, the importance of the word as it relates to joy? Well, God wants His word to take root in our hearts. And as His word takes root in our hearts, joy will be the result. So now that you have the ability to make the right decision, and then your joy will be increased because joy is connected to salvation.
It's always good to be home, to share this wonderful time in the Word of God with the saints in this house. While that is true, there's a world out there that needs to be reached. I don't know why I'm starting out this way this morning. But the commission of the Lord is go into all the world and preach the gospel. God wants us to take His healing power, His power of deliverance to all, everywhere. Many times the Lord Jesus Christ was in a place ministering, and the people will want to keep him in that place. And he says, there are others that I need to get to. I say that this morning because, yes, there's a world out there that has no clue who Jesus is. And even in places where it seems like the gospel has been preached, you still find people who are wondering what you're talking about. I was listening to a man of God not too long ago. He had gone and to this marketplace, and he says to this woman who's hawking her stuff, he says, do you have Jesus? She says, no, I don't have Jesus. I don't sell that product. Anybody here have Jesus? Yeah. And he was shocked, because it was a nation that had heard about Jesus so much. They have so many great churches, and yes, this woman never heard about Jesus, had no clue. There might be somebody next door to you that has no clue about who Jesus is. You think, well, he's here in Canada. Everybody in Canada must know about Jesus. Are you serious? So locally, we need to get the gospel out. But also globally, we need to get the gospel out. And in almost 50 years of ministry, I've come to recognize that salvation is a free gift from God, but the preaching of it is not. So it takes every one of us demonstrating the love of God to get the word of God out there. Today I want to talk about the love of God. The love of God. I think we really don't understand what the love of God is. We think we know, but we don't. And the more you delve into the subject of the love of God, the more you come to understand that this love is beyond description. It's a love that is patient. It's a love that is kind. It's a love that goes the extra mile. It's a love that picks you up when you don't even feel you're worthy to be picked up. Who will like me? And God says, I do beyond that. I love you. But God, how can you love me? Look at me. I'm a mess. Yeah. That you are. But I'm God. And I fix broken things. But I'm too broken. Well, in your brokenness, a broken part put together gets to let the light out. So you cannot hold water, but you can let light out. I'll make something out of this mess. I don't know where you are, how you feel about yourself. It matters not at this moment. When God has decided that He loves you, He loves you. The Word of God says in John 3, in the 16th verse, it says, "For God so loved the world, He so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, that begotten Son is the one that created the world in John 1. He created the world. The Word of God says that that Word, which is His Son, is God. Now, watch this. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus has not gone to the cross yet, but He's proclaiming, "You are so loved that God assigned me to come. And I agreed to that covenant promise for your salvation. I came here. If you believe in me, you're not going to waste away. You're not going to perish. You're going to have everlasting life." Someone say everlasting life. When does everlasting life end? Never ends. Everlasting. That means no matter what the problem is, no matter what the issue is, this life penetrates and keeps on going. It keeps on going. It's everlasting. It will outlast anything that tries to stop it. God so loved you, God so loved me, that He gave to us everlasting life. The Word of God says in Romans chapter 5 and starting from verse 6, it begins to tell us about this love of God, God commending His love towards us, in that while we're yet sinners. In verse 6, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, when we had no capacity, in due time Christ died for the," what? "Ungodly." He died for the ungodly. He died for sinners. It says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." That's scarce. For a righteous man, somebody will die. "Yet peradventure for a good man," the guy is good, "some would even dare to die. But God did not die for the good, the righteous. He demonstrated His love. He commended His love towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This is the love of God. While we're yet sinners, He died for us. The Word of God says, if God did not withhold His Son, what will He withhold from you and I? I want you to, this is a refresher course. I want you to reflect that God did not die for you because you were such a goody-goody. He died for you. Paid the price for you to redeem you and me. He demonstrated that He loves us in that while we're yet sinners, He died for us. Now, the Word of God is going to tell us that this same kind of love that God demonstrated towards us is what we need to demonstrate towards each other. We want to love people because they are so nice, they're so good, they did the right thing, so we love them. And God says, no. If you created in my image and likeness and you have my love in you, you are commissioned, you are commanded to love the unlovely. God, I don't think so. No. Do you know? Do you know what he did? That is a terrible man. He needs to die right now. And God says, hold it. Now love him. I can't do that. I know you can't. So why are you asking me to do that? Well, because I have something called grace. I'm giving it to you. And grace is going to help you love the person that you know you can't love. I loved you while you were yet a sinner. And I expect you to love people even though they don't deserve it. Choose to make them deserving. Choose to make them worthy. Because you decided. Do you know how many marriages will be saved? How many divorces will be stopped? How many homes will stay together? If we just simply love. Not because people deserve it, but because you choose to love them. God commended his love towards us. That while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. There's wrath, but we're saved from that wrath. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is something else. God wants you and I to embrace his love, to receive it. It says, for if when we were enemies, when we were estranged from God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are saved by his life. He died to bring us into reconciliation. He lives to affirm our salvation. There are three words I want you to think about today. I want you to think about the word righteousness. I want you to think about the word justification. I want you to think about the word sanctification. These are all big theological words. But I want you to see it as a coin. The coin, which is the currency for transaction, is called righteousness. Does anyone have a coin here to spare me? I don't have any on me. Any coin will do. Okay. Here we call this a tunic, but now we're going to call it righteousness. It's the way that we do business, we trade with it, it's the currency. Righteousness is your currency. you come boldly into the presence of God and you do business with God because of righteousness. Now, every coin has a head and a tail. The head and tail of this coin called righteousness is justification and sanctification. What is justification? Justification is just as if I have not sinned. That's in a very simple way of saying what justification. Justification. That means God is dealing with you as if you've not sinned. You've not done anything wrong. Justification. That is immediate. Is the head of the coin. Sanctification, if you want to flip it that way, that's your business. But sanctification is something that is now, but also progressive. It is God separating you. To sanctify means to separate. To sanctify means that God is declaring you holy. Are you with me so far? That's that coin. Now, every currency needs to be backed by something. Once upon a time, we had what you call the gold standard. And currency was backed by gold. Now, we live in a world where people just print whatever it is they want to print in, you know, this debt and whatever else. Now, the backing of this currency, yes, it is Jesus. Yes, it is the love of God. The backing of this currency is what we call grace. Grace enables. Grace empowers. Grace authorizes. Grace is putting the final stamp of the government of God on your life. Are we together? Now, Lindsay, I either will keep this or you can catch it. That was good. It went the right direction. God commended his love towards us. In that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our joy is in God. The clip that you saw earlier talked about salvation and joy being linked. You cannot have salvation without having the joy of God. Heaven celebrates because you got saved. And it is the joy of the Lord that begins to strengthen you. That joy is God's grace flowing into you and saying, you are authorized to represent the kingdom of God. Grace gives you the capacity to represent God's kingdom, to be a template of what God is doing and saying in the earth. But we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. A powerful word. In the Old Testament, atonement was about covering your sin, hiding it from view. But when we come into the New Testament, when God uses the word atonement, it is used in a very interesting way. Because now atonement is about value, that God is giving to us the value of himself. If you don't get it, let me explain it this way. If I wanted to buy something, whatever, this book, and the real marketplace price point for it has been $2. And I came and I want to buy this, and I really, really want this. And I came to some guy who really wants it and really doesn't want to sell it. I say, may I give you $2 for it? He says, absolutely not. Okay, I'll pay you $10 for it. I want the book. No. Come on. It's used. Okay, I'll give you $100 for it. I said no. Okay, let's make a deal. $1,000. The guy says, don't you understand English? I said, no. What do you mean, no? Do you mean no at $1,000? Okay, I'll give you $1,000,000 for it. The guy says, absolutely not. Don't you understand? Where are you from? You from Africa? Okay. I'll give you $1,000,000,000 for it. You gonna give me $1,000,000,000 for this? Yes. This used book. Yes. $1,000,000,000. Yes. Okay. Let's get this transaction done. We do the transaction. Is this book now worth $2 or $1,000,000,000? $1,000,000,000. Because of the price that the buyer was willing to pay for it. Yes? Question, is Jesus God? Did Jesus die for your salvation? So he paid the price for your salvation. So what is your value? You have the value of God. God put the value of God on you. That's what the atonement is. He put the value of himself and says, I give you the value of me. Wow. Now, how dare you be so arrogant to think so little of yourself? Do you know that's what pride is? That pride is you not accepting the love of God that he's bestowed by his own perfect will. He says, I put the value of me on you. Do you know that when God puts the value of himself on you, you become so precious that nobody should be messing with you? The devil must be very careful around you because you are precious cargo. You're not only precious, you carry the precious one inside of you. Is somebody getting something out of this? The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, the love of God passeth knowledge. You can't understand this. It says, and to know the love of Christ. We got to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Why? That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you want to be filled with the fullness of God, you need to know the love of Christ. What is this love of the Anointed One? It's the love that was willing to die for you and die for me and die for the world. Is it worth knowing? If he gave everything to make certain that I get saved, what must I give to see that others get saved? There's nothing to hold back. God gave his very best, and God calls us to give our very best. You see, when we talk about the love of God, we talk about the love that brings about forgiveness. God forgiving us our sins. But beyond the forgiveness of our sins, because forgiveness is one level. Forgiveness is something that you say by the action of words. So if somebody does something to me, I can say, I forgive you. And if they believe that, and I believe that I've forgiven them, then we are okay. God did not just do that. Because if that's all that Jesus came to do, then he didn't have to die. Forgiveness does not mean dying. But God came to deal with something much more than our transgression of sin. He came to deal with the rottenness on the inside of us that causes us to continue in sin. It's called iniquity. Someone say iniquity is a pattern. It's a pattern that causes you to do certain things. You want to do the right thing, but you can't because there's a pattern, there's a groove in the crack, and it is directing your life. It is guiding everything about you. And so Jesus came to change that heritage of iniquity. That desire that burns within us that causes us to want to do the wrong thing. And when we want to do the right thing, we still do the wrong thing. He came and he died for that. And in dying for that, he exchanged places with you and I. Are we together so far? He gave you himself. And he took in you. So he became sin for us. He was not a sinner. He became sin. Are we together? Are you understanding? This is the holy God who's not done anything wrong, coming and taking all the filth of mankind and putting it on himself and giving to us his righteousness. And the Father who sent him, because God hates sin, the Father turns his face away from the Son. And the Son says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's never said that before. But he placed himself in that place where it seemed like God has forsaken, God turns his face away. And God says, no, 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 I didn't forget you. I didn't forget you. And it's earthquake and everything is shaking. And at that moment, those that were dead and defeated, all of a sudden experienced a breakthrough. They did not come out of the grave, but they rose from the place of defeat. And Jesus, our Lord, the Bible tells us, goes into hell. He went to hell so that I don't get to go to hell. Amen? This is the love of God. Now, I'm going to qualify that statement in a moment. Because the Bible tells us that we were crucified with Christ. I'm trying to get the gospel across to you this morning so that you understand it. Because there's so many who are saved but don't understand what salvation is about. They don't understand that they've been justified. They don't understand that they've been sanctified by God. They don't understand that the gift of righteousness has been given to them. They don't understand that what grace is. And so because they do not understand what grace is, they think grace is you keep on blowing it and living in sin and God is okay with it. But that's not what grace is about. Grace is God infusing you with the ability to resist the devil so that he flees from you. Amen? Hallelujah. You are empowered to overcome. We don't need to live and continue in sin. You can live a whole day without sinning. If you live a whole day without sinning, you can go 2 days. And then you can go 3 days and 4 days and maybe a week. And if you continue, you can do it a month. We'll say, Pastor, come on. It's not possible. It is possible every day because when you walk in the love of God, the Bible says that his precious blood cleanses you from all sin and from all unrighteousness, and that the one who is born of God cannot sin. It's in the Bible. You cannot sin. Say, what do you mean I cannot sin? Because God says, you cannot. That is, if you connect with the love of God, when you see wrong in your life, you confess it. You don't start giving it a reason and qualifying and excusing this and excusing that. Excuse nothing. You messed up, you messed up. God, forgive me, help me to do better next time. God is happy with that. But you... No, I didn't do anything wrong. If you only knew what they did to me, you would have been on my side. Why aren't you not on my side on this matter? Well, God says, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm on the side of the person who is on my side. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again. The love of God passeth knowledge. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 says, God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. We have known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love or dwelleth in God, dwelleth in God. And God in him. God in him, you in God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John, the Gospel of John, about the importance of this. He says, if you keep my commandments, we're going to come and we're going to make our abode in you. When you are in me and I'm in you, you are okay. The question is, are you letting God be God in your life? God wants you and I to embrace His love. In John, in the 15th chapter, in the 9th verse, He makes a remarkable statement to us. He says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Father loves me, and I love you just like the Father loves me. He says, but you got to do this. Continue ye in my love. Continue in my love. Continue in my love. Continue my love. Which is continuing in the love of the Father. It says to us, that it said to those Jews that believed in Him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen? If you continue. The issue is not the starting, the issue is the continuing. Do you continue to believe that God loves you? You believed Him when you were a sinner and you came and you accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior and you said, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and my Savior. And He came and He saved you. But now you don't believe Him anymore. You don't believe Him anymore. You say, what do you mean you don't believe Him anymore? You don't believe Him anymore when you don't accept the forgiveness of God and you keep on beating yourself down day in, day out and allowing people to beat you day in, day out and you think you are such a terrible person, no good nonsense person. Well, well, well. Are you worse than you were? If you were, well, this love of God still goes as far as the east is from the west. Now, listen to me. Listen, 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 listen. Listen, listen, listen. I am not saying to anyone here, continue in sin, because that is not the word of God. What I'm saying is this. If you find yourself messing up, change, repent, turn around, God has not forsaken you. The only way you're going to perish is if you stop believing that God's loving kindness and tender mercies and His grace is sufficient to save you, to deliver you, to redeem you, that He has taken care of your past, your present, and your future. When you stop believing that, you are done. Do you understand? You're finished. Your goose is cooked. You're going to H-E double hockey sticks. Capish? Mm-hmm. But hell is not for any believer. The lake of fire definitely is not for anyone. The Word of God says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him, what? Should not. It didn't say shall not. You can believe in Him and still perish. When you stop continuing in believing that God's grace is sufficient, that God's love is so deep, so wide. Man may want to keep you in the wrath of God, but you must learn in faith to reject that. I reject that. That is not my portion. Praise God. That is not my portion. Now, if you're making a practice of sin, forget it. We're not talking about you. If you're deliberately going to continue in sin, we're not talking about you. God's not talking about you. You are going to H-E double hockey sticks. Because you have not believed the power of God, the grace of God, is able to carry you through. You're depending on your ability. That's your pride. I'm going to do it by myself. I did it my way. Well, you did it your way. It is not His way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do it His way, and you'll know freedom. You'll know deliverance. For unless you continue to look unto Him, the author and the finisher of faith, you cannot be changed into the same glory. You want to be changed? Look unto Jesus. You begin to morph. Something begins to change in you. And you become day in, day out, more and more like Him. Are we hearing? You got to remain in the love of God. In Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10, the psalmist is talking about how God so amazingly created him, you and I. And he comes to verse 7 and he begins to talk about this love of God. He says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? How am I going to do that, run away from your presence? Is that possible? He says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. There is not a where God is not. Hello. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there shall thine hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Talk to Jonah. You find out. Jonah is trying to run away from God. God says, you think you can run away from me? Fish! Get him! And takes him and puts him where he belonged. What was Jonah trying to escape from? Those terrible people, they all need to die. They all need to go to H-E double hockey sticks. If you don't know what I'm talking about, hell! That's what I'm talking about. They need to go there. I'm not going to preach to them. They are evil, bad, terrible people. And God's saying, I know it, but I love them. I want to save them, and I need you to go tell them that they need to repent. No, I'm not doing that. And he's going in a different direction. He says, okay. You finish running. Starts messing with the boat. Everybody's throwing up. They begin to dump all of their resources out to make the ship a little bit lighter or whatever. Nothing is working. Jonah finally says, the reason you're having all this problem is because of me. Just throw me into the water. He said, no, we can't do that. Even the sinners were kind. He says, if you guys don't want to die, throw me in. So they hauled him, and here comes a fish. Swallows him, and he's transported without ticket. No ticket, no visa, no passport. Fish takes him to land, but the Bible says, interestingly, it was when he began to give God thanks that the fish spat him out. It was going to take him days, maybe weeks, to cover the ground. That guy did it in short order and went and sat down waiting for the whole nation to be destroyed. But the king and even the dogs and the cows and the sheep, everybody is forced to fast and repent. And he's sitting down there, and God gives him a nice tree to shade him. And he says, oh, thank you, Lord, for this nice shade. And he's waiting for the nation to be destroyed. God doesn't wipe out Nineveh. He saves them. And Jonah is now very upset. So God kills the tree. And Jonah starts to complain. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, so you are more concerned about this tree and your covering and not them? I care about them. I don't want them destroyed. God is not willing that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. That's why this gospel of the kingdom must be preached. People need to know that God loves them. God wants them forgiven, but not only does God want them forgiven, God wants to break the backbone of iniquity, the patterns of living ungodly off of their lives permanently. Hallelujah. He says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. It's not that I can get away from God. People think they can get away. No, you can't. God's got you covered. Well, the directive of the Lord is this, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, that we also need to extend this kind of love to others. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is what we need to do. Beloved, if God so loved us, in some translation, that word of is the word must. It can be translated as must. We must also love one another. This is what you got to do. If God so loved you, you got to do the same one to the other. Why do we go about gossiping, backbiting, tearing each other down, being judgmental and critical? This person didn't do this, this person didn't do that. They know better. Sure, they know better. So they didn't do it. So now you're going to get to hate them? Now you're not going to love them? Is that the deal? He says, if God loved you, you ought to love one another. And verse 12 says, no man had seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Notice the text. No man had seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. In other words, man will see God. The way man sees God is by seeing the demonstration of love, our love for one another. Now, this love of God sometimes may come across as weakness, come across as foolishness, come across as being stupid. How can you love this person? That's foolish. That's stupid. That's weak. God was not weak when he loved us. Love is not stupid. It's not foolish. It's not weak. It is strength. When you're able to love people that everything inside of you says, I need to break every bone in your body and spread you all over the place until nobody finds you. Ah. That's everything inside of you saying that. And you say, no. What I'm going to do is going to love you. I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. How easy is it for people to forsake? You didn't say hi to me, I'm leaving. I wanted you to help me with such and such, and you didn't help me, you went somewhere else. I wanted you to do my wedding, and you have the audacity to go to the Philippines to go preach the gospel. I'm leaving this church, you're not for me. Do you know how many times we allow ourselves to get unnecessarily hurt because we're not willing to love? We want people to do stuff for us, but we'll not do for them. You want me to call you when you're sick to come and check on you and say, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? But if I'm sick, it's just a pastor. He should take care of himself. Huh? This is love quantity. We place obligations on people that we don't place on ourselves. And if they don't fulfill what we think they should do for us, you are cut off. Finished with you. You are dead to me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. You did that to me? You disrespected me? And on and on and on and on. Well, the Word of God says in John 13, verse 34, this is a new commandment I give you. I'm giving you a commandment. It's a new one. That you love one another as I have what? Loved you. That you also love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Look at this. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Sounds like a very redundant statement, but it's saying it again and again so that we know what the deal is. I'm telling you, love one another. Love. What you don't want people to do to you, don't do to them. Love. Now, does love always look nice? Sometimes not. And I'll qualify that statement in a moment. It says to us, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's how they're going to know that you're my disciples. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, we can deduce from that statement that freedom, my freedom, is directly connected to my loving you. Say, I don't get it. Okay, let's back up. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed? Let's stop there. By this shall men know that ye are my disciples. That is, if you continue in my word, which is loving one another, which is you knowing the truth, because you love one another. And the truth that you now know because you love one another is the truth that will now make you free. So holding you from freedom is the love of your brother. Do we understand? You don't love people, don't expect freedom. You will always stay in bondage because you don't love. Your freedom is connected to you loving me and me loving you. Oh, I'm just going to go fast. When I finish fasting, I'll be free. And the word of God will say, what about the love? Is this the kind of fast that I have put in place? That you get yourself hungry and all? Is it not so that you can set the captives free? Huh? God's fast. So I'm fasting. Okay, if you're fasting, go find somebody to help. That's the word of God in the book of Isaiah. That's the fasting that God looks for. Who are you helping? Who are you giving to? Who are you supporting? Who are you upholding? He says, that's why I know you're fasting. It's not, oh, I didn't eat breakfast. I didn't eat lunch. I didn't eat dinner. It's now 5 days. I'm fasting. You're a hungry, dying person. Go help somebody. Support some. Look for somebody to raise up. That's what God calls fasting. Your fasting is meant to bring wholeness to somebody. Well, let me surmise everything I've been saying. By saying love is about extending forgiveness. Love is about giving. If you love, you give. God so loved, he gave. If you're not a giver, you're not a lover. You don't know the love of God. If you're tight-fisted, you're not a lover of God. Well, somebody else is going to do it. You're not a lover of God. That's straight talk. When you love, you demonstrate commitment. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's, I'm committed. I'm your true north. I'm here. If you go and come, I'm here with you. You go there, I'm there with you. So if I love God, I must not drag God into messy places. In fact, the word of God says, hey, you've made me join with you messy stuff. When we love God, we stop and say, is this going to honor God? This thing I'm about to do, is it going to honor God? That's a question we ask ourselves. There's commitment. You can be relied on. You're reliable. You're responsible. A few years ago, I preached about the word responsibility. And I talked about that word responsibility means having the capacity to respond, having the ability to respond. That every day that as I build myself up in faith, embracing the word of God, I'm building myself up so that I can respond. I have the ability to respond. When I study, I'm building up the ability to respond. When I go to work and I make money, I'm building up the ability to respond. Everything that you and I do is giving us the capacity to be able to respond. Hello? We need to be able to respond. And when God calls us to prosperity, it is Him calling us to the place where we have the capacity to respond. Hallelujah. The love of God displays understanding. So I see. I don't condone what you've done, but I see why that happened. Now, let me help you make the right decisions next time. Sometimes we are judgmental, critical, and all of that, and without understanding. No understanding. Now, don't quote me on this. And don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. But it is the word of God. The word of God says if a man steals and he gets away with it, okay? But if he gets caught, he pays seven times whatever it is he stole. What is God's word talking about? He's saying, that guy may have lost his job, may have whatever, and all kinds of reasons and things are falling apart, and he saw an apple in the store and grabbed it and ate it. Say, hey, you got to pay for that. Say, man, do whatever it is you got to do to me, but I was so hungry. I had, I couldn't help myself. God says, have an understanding. Yeah, he should not do that, but he did it. Have an understanding on why he did it. And temper justice with mercy. So God understood that we all have sinned because we had a track record of sin. I didn't plan on sinning. Adam sinned. And because of what Adam did, I got to sin. So God took the blame, says, okay, I take the blame. I understand why you sinned. I take the blame. Yes, I created Adam and Eve. And yes, I created Lucifer, who fell and came and messed with them and so on and so forth. So I take the blame. You want to blame me? I take the blame. I understand. But now this is the solution. Are we together? Okay. So Jesus says, he that gave me up had the greater sin. He wasn't talking about Judas. He's talking about the Father who took on. That's why the word of God is God so loved, he gave. Are we together? Love has understanding attached to it. It is not accepting the wrong. It is having an understanding. And having had that understanding, you find a solution of restoration. That's what God came to do. Love is unifying. Where there is love, people operate in unity. They work together for a greater purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's how he sends his commanded blessings, and that's how his anointing flows freely and richly and causes lives to be forever changed. Praise God. Well, we'll stop there, and we'll continue about this love of God. I trust that there's something that was said today that you embraced. Amen? And understand that sin ultimately destroys the sinner. And the thing that you and I need to do is engage God, who is willing to deliver us. Deliverance is available. It's available when we choose to love. We place judgment on people that we don't place on ourselves. So we live in a world of one rule for me and one another rule for you. Don't do that. Because God is going to judge you based on the rule that you have for others. Amen? Does that make sense? Yeah. So be kind. Be patient. Rise with me. This morning I have try to communicate the love of God with us as best as I can so that we know what this gospel of the kingdom is about. And if you hear this morning and you say, you know, Pastor, I received the word of God and I want to declare the lordship of Jesus Christ over my life. I want to turn my life completely over to him. And from this very moment, not only acknowledge him as Lord and Savior of my soul, but also acknowledge him as the one who has loved others and has forgiveness for them. I want my life changed to reflect the heart of God. Please pray with me. If that's you, just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. God bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand over there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Your hand, and everyone else, you may repeat these words with me. Father God, I turn my life over to you. Take it and make what you can with it. I ask that Jesus be Lord of my life. Lord, help me to love my neighbors, love the world and its people with your love. Not love the world in doing the things of the world, but loving the world like you love the world and gave yourself for its salvation. Use my life, O God, to touch this world. This I ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do not go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No one go with me, Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that your loving kindness is greater than life. And thank you, Lord, that we are empowered to live life in honor of your glorious name. We say yes to your word. We say yes to your will. Blessed be your holy name.
You are welcome.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Siri, behave yourself. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. You know, the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from verse 4, Paul Paul is saying about giving, and he says, have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we the power to forbear working? He says, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law of the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. This is Paul talking about, hey, we have rights to receive from you personally and so on and so forth. He says, but we don't want to hinder the gospel of Christ. But this is needful, the word of God says to us, that we be people who honor God with our givings. It is of utmost importance that we honor God. When we come to the house of God, the responsibility in the house of God is ours. It says, bring all of the tithes and all of the offerings, that there may be meat in my house, that my storehouse is full. He says, and then I'm going to rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and that not enough. God wants you and I to understand the importance of giving. Amen. And I encourage you today to take your place as a giver, so that the gospel can go forth, so that lives be transformed, minds renewed, so that others hear of this gospel. In this next month, we are going to have the opportunity to take the word of God into a nation, have crusades and have conferences and do all kinds of things, and see the body of Christ relaunched, churches relaunched in Nigeria. And we need support to accomplish that. And as soon as we get back, we're going to have a major crusade in Pakistan. We're expecting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people in this particular crusade. We're expecting God to move mightily, as he's done the many times that we've been in that nation. We are going to be going there. We're going to buy back slaves, people that have been held as slaves, as we've done many times before. We're going to actually pay for them, get them out of slavery. Some have been there for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Generational slaves, because of a debt. Maybe the debt that they owed was $100. And they've been trying to work out that $100 for 40 years. So we go there, and whatever it is that the man is owing, we pay for it. We start businesses for them, and you know, so that they start a new life. Amen. So that's coming up just after we get back from the Africa trip. And so there's needs out there that we need to address. And today I just want you to have that in your mind. Think about it. Consider what God may lead you to do. And when you do give to us missions, fill it on that missions. Don't take from your general tithe and offerings, because that means that you're taking from something that we need to take care of things here, and then we're taking it over there. We want you to go the extra mile and do the best that you can. Amen? All right. Please come. Honor God with your giving. If you do not have your communion elements, please raise your hand so that you can be saved. There's some hands on your right. Right over there, a few hands. Today we studied the Word of God, and we do understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord, gave His life for us. As we take off this body, let us be reminded of that. As you take off this body and you eat, may it become healing to you. Healing to you physically, emotionally, spiritually, healing for your mind, for your finances, marriage, your family. Receive healing wherever it is that you're hurting. Do this in remembrance of the Lord who came to address every issue that faces you. Eat and be healed.
As we take off this cup of blessing, may the blood of Jesus cover every one of us.
Amen.
Protect us from every work of the darkness.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Amen. Praise the Lord. For those that are